You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, this Mother's Day weekend to TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander, this Saturday evening, May the 13th. It's already starting to warm up down here, temperature-wise, in the Mid-South, and we're going to make sure it's red hot on your radio tonight, red hot and rolling, as always. Matter of fact, we've got so much news to cover this evening. An exceedingly interesting week of news it has been that we had to call in one of the heavy hitters on our roster of guests, Tim Murdoch himself, the very popular commentator and content producer, just to help us shoulder the load and help us sort through a lot of this stuff. I am telling you, this week has delivered if you want fast-paced and punchy opinions and analysis on a lot of stuff that has really piqued our interest, that's for sure. Keith, you want to say hello real quick before we bring Tim on?
Yeah, it's great to have Tim back on the show. I tell you, it's he can handle any topic that we have, basically.
Yeah, I was saying that at supper tonight. We were pre-show preparing that Tim's just a great utility
and
guy.
And he's almost been out there as long as we have. He may be even predating us. I don't know.
He got his start. He's one of the few people that say a former member of the Reagan administration gave him his start. But his good friend and ours, Bob Whitaker, and Tim has certainly taken the work of Bob and expanded it and furthered it. Well, anyway, all that being said, Tim, welcome back to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Always happy to be on the political cesspool.
Always great to be with you, too, over at White Rabbit Radio, and we'll give folks all your contact information here in a moment. But you and I were talking earlier today and texting each other yesterday. Just so much going on, and the topics that I said I'd like to cover were topics you were already planning to cover over there at your own place. But let's start with the Trump. I think, and listen, just to give you an idea, folks, we're going to be talking about what could be the latest race hoax, Senator Tommy Tuberville's comments on white nationalists. We're going to be talking about E. Jean Carroll. We're going to be talking about the latest non-white white supremacists. We're going to be talking about the Trump town hall, and that's where I want to start, because to me, this was pretty interesting. Not just what we heard from Trump, because we've heard it before, but the fact that CNN would air Trump unmolested, and that the audience in New Hampshire, that this town hall was lapping it up, and the media was apoplectic after it aired at what they had seen transpire. And we're going to break it down now. Tim, do you want to take the first shot at that one?
Sure. I think what we're seeing is what Trump does very well. He's on the stump, and on the stump, he can be damn near unbeatable, at least by the current crop, one of the challenges historically with conservatives is you're dealing historically with a term that Bob Whitaker coined called respectable conservative. Sam Francis coined one, I think that's even better, called the beautiful loser, where you'll have these guys, and some of them I even like, where they'll go to the line, whatever line's established for them to go to, they won't go over, and they don't really have the will, the power to push through, and they have limits and whatnot. You know, it's like, well, I don't want to go down that road. What would my neighbor or church think of me? Although it's the right road to go down. Trump doesn't really have any qualms. He has the will to power. He's willing to do whatever and say whatever. That is, I don't know what it means for me or you in this go round, but he has that unpredictable quality, and he has, again, he wants to win. He wants power.
Well, Tim, this is Keith. Let me say this. Those so-called respectable conservatives that have lines they will not cross, like Glenn Beck and whatnot, they get no credit from the other side for that. When are people going to understand that pulling your punches is, you know, not a good strategy. It's a strategy that just basically projects weakness of your argument. And one thing that Trump does, I don't know if Trump is just lucky. There are a couple of hot issues that he won't touch, of course, like respectable conservatives.
There's precious few, and there's really only one.
The JQ, he's not going to get into that. But on everything else, you know, he's kind of a wild card. You never know where he's going to come at you from. And basically, what he says is, you know, manna from heaven to our movement. Because, you know, he can become a white nationalist without even intending to.
Well, here's the thing, Tim, and you can agree or disagree with me on this. I mean, Trump has been talked about excessively since 2015. I think we all know what we're going to get from Trump, the pros and the cons. Why are we still enamored by Trump so many years later? And I think this is it. What I'm about to play for you, and when we come into the next segment after Tim has a chance to respond to this, we'll demonstrate it. This performance in this town hall, the CNN Live unscripted town hall this week, I'm going to play a snip from this, and I think it's what I'm going to play for you in a moment. He continued to undermine the integrity of the election and flat out stated that citizens cannot expect to get a fair trial in America. And he's talking about, obviously, MAGA people, dissidents, people like us. Again, we can go round and round about the pros and cons, but I am compelled to be behind this guy again, if for no other reason. Here's the reason. He represents the best chance for us to undermine trust in our elections and in the courts and in the media, et cetera, and we have to have that. We have to have our people understand that there is no future for us under this system before we can get to the point where there is a reckoning. DeSantis can't give us that. You can say, well, I like DeSantis on this and that, and if we lived in an ethno state where basic conservatism was enough, then maybe DeSantis could be looked at. But they are destroying us, and if people maintain faith in the institutions, they will continue to destroy us. And whether or not the election was actually stolen, I believe it's important for people to see themselves as separate from the system. And these election fraud claims serve a higher purpose than Trump. And the media, again, Tim, is going bonkers in response to the fact that the crowd at this CNN town hall, this was put on by CNN, were erupting with cheers for Trump throughout the
Brian
evening.
Brian Stelter was going nuts about that.
As he continued to make these statements. Tim, take it.
Yeah, I mean, he plays this up quite well. I don't know where it's all going. It's going to be entertaining. It's always entertaining to watch these people that are smug, holier than thou, no one can stand them. It's always entertaining watching their heads explode. I don't know what any of it means for me or you as someone who's only pro-white, but we live in interesting times.
Well, Trump is like the little boy that tells the emperor he has no clothes, and they know that, and they can't control him, and he drives them nuts, and that's worth a lot in and of itself.
Brad Griffin, our mutual friend, Keith and Tim, basically echoing the same sentiments, saying that Trump is steadily increasing polarization and undermining confidence in national institutions. Even if you don't like Trump, he continues to drive his enemies insane, who react to him in ways that undermine faith in our democracy, quote unquote, with a capital D. And Brad even goes so far as to say perhaps God is using Trump as his instrument to sow enough division to dissolve the union. I mean, I think that's something that we're going to have to look at, and we don't get there with a standard guy like DeSantis. So, Tim, when we come back, we're going to play... or anybody else in the Republican field, for that matter. When we come back, we're going to play a clip from this town hall, get your response to that, and then we're going to move on to Tommy Tuberville's quote about white nationalists, the non-white, white supremacists, and so much more with the great Tim Murdoch. Stay tuned. Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, then you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog, with exclusive offerings like Rebel Mountain by Kurt Eggers, a brand new reprint of the infamous You Gentiles by Marie Samuel, and now the treatise of a January 6th prisoner in the American regime. There is something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the complete catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to check out antelopehillpublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Because he did something wrong. He should have put the votes back to the state legislatures, and I think we would have had a different outcome. I really do.
He doesn't have the authority to do that, as you know.
What?
The vice president does not have the authority to
okay,
reject those.
Are you ready? Let's have this one
results.
Out just now, because it's interesting. Let's keep it interesting, right? I like Mike Pence very much. He's a very fine man. He's a very nice man. He made a mistake. His lawyer said, you cannot move. I called them the human conveyor belt. I said, even if the votes, you mean, I talked to his lawyer, even if the votes are absolutely fraudulent, he can't say, yes, sir, he can't say, but, and the Democrats played it and the rhinos played it. And then the election was over. They told him he couldn't do it. And Mike said to me, I can't do it. The lawyers told me he can't do it. They can't do it. But the lawyers were wrong, because right after the election, they all met, the rhinos and the Democrats, and they worked out a plan to make sure that future vice presidents don't do what I said you could do.
That's not what happened. You're referring to the Electoral Count Act.
That's
I've read that. There is no authority.
No,
legal experts,
me.
Including Republican legal experts, say that he does not have that authority, Mr. Caitlin, President. But I want
why
to
did
on.
They change the law then, saying that you can't do it?
They didn't change the law. They strengthened the law because they were worried about
oh,
presidents
exploiting. Oh, they strengthened
exploiting.
It, meaning you could do it.
Thank
you.
That's not what it means.
Thank you.
They strengthened the
Mike
law. Mike
had
they were
the right
worried.
To do it. They convinced him he didn't, and it was a horrible thing for our country. If you would have sent those votes back to Georgia, Pennsylvania, and other states, Wisconsin, which if you look at Wisconsin, they've virtually admitted now that the election was rigged. If
they
you would
have
sent those
that,
votes
Mr.
back
President.
To many of those states, they would not come back in the affirmative. And remember what I said, and you just said it pretty much, you admitted what I said was right. They
did
said
not.
He didn't have the right to do it. And he did have the right to do it, and that's why they changed the law, taking that right away.
I should note that your campaign paid for a recount that happened in Wisconsin. It actually had more votes for President Biden by the end of it. But I want to move on to Wayne Beyer. He's a retired attorney from North
way,
Conway.
So many illegal votes were cast in Wisconsin. And if you look in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they had so many legal illegal votes, they didn't even know what to do with them. You're absolutely wrong.
Mr. President,
about that.
There weren't any fraudulent votes in Wisconsin. I do want to get to the audience, though. We have questions for you from the audience. Wayne Beyer is a retired attorney from North Conway. He has previously served in Republican administrations. He volunteered for the Republican Party in the 2022 midterms. He voted for you in 2020. What's your question for the President, Wayne?
Thank you for coming, Mr. President.
Thank you, Wayne.
My question to you is, will you pardon the January 6 rioters who were convicted of federal offenses?
I am inclined to pardon many of them. I can't say for every single one, because a couple of them, probably they got out of control. But, you know, when you look at Antifa, what they've done to Portland, and if you look at Antifa, look at what they've done to Minneapolis and so many other places. Look at what they did to Seattle and BLM. Many people were killed. These people, I'm not trying to justify anything. But you have two standards of justice in this country, and what they've done, and I love that question, because what they've done to so many people is nothing. And then what they've done to these people, they've persecuted these people. And yeah, my answer is, I am most likely, if I get in, I would say it will be a large portion of them. You know, they did a very, and it'll be very early on. And they're living in hell right now.
So when it comes
they're
to
living
pardons.
In hell, and they're policemen, and they're firemen, and they're soldiers, and they're carpenters, and electricians, and they're great people. Many of them are just great people.
Mr. President, what
all right, I played a little bit longer clip than I had intended to, but Tim, I think it's important. Now, that was just about 4 minutes of an hour and a half long session. And in just that one clip, and believe me, the whole thing is like that. He's talking about the election being fraudulent, talking about pardoning January Sixers. And to go back to what we were talking about before the break, if you believe, as I do, that for our money, our best play right now, and about the only card we can play, is to further the divide and the political separation between the different group blocks, we have to.
It's going to wake up normicons, as you call them and whatnot, or we all call them. He is the only one that can seem to break through. Moderator, for example, she was all attitude and no substance to all of her criticism.
Well, she got a lot of criticism from the press, but Trump is the catalyst. If widening the divide, widening the polarization, this is the way to go. Tim, your response to that and other things we heard in that town hall, and then we'll move on to the next topic.
Well, I mean, again, it's standard Trump stuff. It's the stuff that he does. He does it well. He does it better than anyone else because he doesn't really have any limits or barriers. And he's quite likely to get, if he got elected, and he's leading in the polls, but I don't trust the polls because this election is going to be whoever cheats better, in my opinion, unfortunately. Amen. And it comes down to, unless there's some type of outlier. But you see, when I say that Trump's not he's not your mother's conservative. He's not the beautiful loser. He's not the respectable conservative. Trump never loses. And if he thinks he's losing, he's not losing. He's going to have a rally and take over the Capitol or something, or he wants Pence to do a vote. This is his will to power. And you know, it's a big issue. Richard Spencer was saying Biden should pardon the J6. That would take the starch out of Trump. Trump would then have to say he's going to pardon guys at Shanksville or something.
Yeah, of course he's not going to, you know, maybe it would.
Biden doesn't have an original thought. He just says what he's told to say.
Of course he's not going to do that because, again, he's just taking his orders. He's only the president. But that their whole thing is white nationalists, white supremacists, the greatest threat. Of course, everybody's a white nationalist now. Everybody's a white supremacist now that voted for
him. Even the Latino guys will find out later.
We'll get into that in just a moment. But anyway, Tim, you were saying that we talking about this earlier today. Anything else you want to talk about with regards to the town hall and the media's reaction to that? I saw where one of these outlets had found a guy who said that everybody in the town hall was shocked and aghast at what they heard from the president. Well, this is, again, who was this? I watched this thing. I saw these people cheering every time he would make statements like that. You just heard it yourself. Are you going to believe the media or your lying eyes, the media or your lying ears, saying that everybody at that town hall was upset with what Trump was saying? Well, it sure didn't seem that way with what I saw and heard. But that was the media spin on it. Everybody was aghast.
Yeah, the media is going to blow up over it. And there'll be a lot of soccer moms that voted for Joe Biden that blow up over it. But Red Meat America will be going crazy.
All right. Let's move on then to another thing going on in the Republican Party this week. Was this a Freudian slip, politically speaking, or what's going on here? The headline reads, Alabama senator on white nationalists in the military. Quote, I call them Americans, end quote. Story reads, Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama appeared to defend white nationalists in a recent interview by suggesting that they should not be barred from serving in the military, prompting his office to clarify the remarks. In an interview published this week by Birmingham-based radio station WBHM, Tuberville criticized the state of the military and said Democrats were to blame. Here's what Tuberville said. We're losing in the military so fast our readiness in terms of recruitment. And why? I can tell you why. Because the Democrats are attacking our military, saying we need to get out the white extremists, the white nationalists, people that don't believe in President Biden's agenda. Asked whether he believed the white nationalists should be allowed in the military, Tuberville said, they call them that. I call them Americans. Now, his office did backtrack a little bit, saying, well, he wasn't saying the white nationalists should be in there, but that everybody's called a white nationalist, so on and so forth. But I don't know if they understand more than they let on, and if this was just him speaking his true mind or what. What do you make of it? It is interesting, nevertheless.
The military has problems. We're in election year, and election year Republicans always sound like white nationalists, and these lines have been so blurred by everyone being called a Nazi. 80 million Trump supporters are Nazis. You know, MAGA hats are basically swastikas. It's crazy stuff. And so part of it, I think, is the military just has trouble, and it has trouble with white America long term and the short term, and their numbers show. And another problem is, of course, it's election year where they're going to be dog whistling. And the dog whistling in this election should be, you know, worse than 2015, 2016. It should be like at record levels.
Let me ask you this. Why are you treating white nationalists different from all these other groups? BLM, they can be there. Nobody's criticized that. Cross-dressers, transvestites, soy boys. And that is not a winning hand for the American military, and I think that Tuberville knows it. Now, I'm no particular fan of Tuberville. I remember when he was a coach at Ole Miss, he excused his lack of performance on the Confederate symbols and things like that. But on the other hand, it's pretty obvious that we have not met recruitment goals in the military. And that's because the core of the military has
white
been told
Southerners,
they're not welcome.
Well, that's white Southerners.
Yeah, exactly.
And
they've been told there's no place for you in today's military.
I'm sure
in America.
It stunted the ones that are signing up. They shouldn't have been signing up anyway, and a lot of them have been ejected. But, yeah, I mean, BLM. Well, that was another thing. Trump did mention BLM in that town hall in a less than positive way, which, you know, nobody else is doing. But, yeah, a lot of this is going on. Whatever Tuberville meant or didn't mean, he said the right thing. What he said is what we would agree with. They're not white nationalists. They're Americans. Everybody's that's a white nationalist. But a lot of people are picking. I mean, Ann Coulter's most recent column was just outstanding. Jack, how do you pronounce his name? Posobiec, Charlie Kirk. I mean, these people are starting to get it a little more. Maybe Tuberville is too. Maybe Trump will. Either way, we need the divide. I'm not saying he's our guy, he's going to save us. We need the divide.
Somebody to throw
he
a turd.
Guy.
We need to have somebody who can throw
back.
A turd in.
Your daily Liberty News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Jerry Barmash. There isn't a push to have a mass release of migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border.
The White House is denying reports that border authorities are allowing or encouraging a mass release of migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border.
Migrants who do not have a lawful basis to remain will be quickly removed, just like 1.4 million migrants who were expelled last year alone. So that's the truth.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said the Biden administration is using every tool it has to deal with the surge of migrants in a humane and orderly way. I'm John Schaefer.
President Biden says talks about the debt ceiling are moving along. Biden spoke briefly with reporters today before boarding Air Force One after speaking at Howard University's commencement. He added that there are real discussions about a deal, but, quote, we're not there yet. When asked if he believes a deal can be made by June 1st, Biden said, quote, it has to be. Former President Trump canceled an outdoor rally in Iowa today due to stormy weather. Both he and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis were scheduled to hold separate events in the Hawkeye State. DeSantis did speak earlier in the day at the state GOP fundraiser in Cedar Rapids, amid reports that DeSantis is preparing to formally announce his bid for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. There's a recall to tell you about impacting millions of GM drivers.
General Motors is recalling nearly 1 million vehicles due to faulty airbags in Buick Enclave, Chevrolet Traverse, and GMC Acadia vehicles from 2014 through 2017. They say airbags produced by ARC Automotive before 2018 could explode and spray shrapnel during deployment. Federal regulators are urging the manufacturer to recall all of their 67 million airbag inflators. Drivers can have the module replaced for free.
The Writers Guild of America strike reaches its 12th day without a new deal. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Back now we are. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here with Tim Murdoch, our featured guest of the evening, talking so far about Trump's town hall, the comments made by Tommy Tuberville. And, you know, Tuberville shouldn't have even been a senator from Alabama, even no more than the Democrat who got snuck in there. He's gone, but yeah. He should have been in there because they played those dirty tricks on Roy Moore, where women that he may or may not have ever even met some 50 years prior.
And then also Donald Trump lured Jeff Sessions out of that safe seat he had and then treated him like, dog meat, while regarding Rod Rosenstein and people like that, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. That's the problem with Trump, to tell
Trump's
you the truth.
Problems.
Yeah, once Trump gets in the office, he'll start appointing all the usual suspects again.
I don't care about that because, he probably will. He'll probably do what he did before, which won't be much for us, except for the fact that he's making the enemy overplay its hand and make mistakes in a way that nobody else would. That's what I like about Trump. I like a lot of the things he says, sure, but I like what he does in that regard.
Tender Trump is much better than President Trump.
All right, so the thing, though, back to Tuberville, is Roy Moore would have been in there had they not had the media trotted out all of these women with these spurious claims that he was behaving inappropriately some 50 years prior. After that did just enough to sink his chances after he won a contested primary, all of these women just disappeared. I mean, either the cases were dropped or blown out of court. He certainly never got convicted of anything, and it just all went away. But the left said, hey, we got a strategy here we can use. They started using it with Trump, and it sort of reached a high point here with this situation with E. Jean Carroll. Have you been following that one, Tim?
Sure, the lawsuit?
Yeah, and the decision.
And the judgment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically you've got E. Jean Carroll and they ruled against Trump. Trump saying he never met her, never touched her, doesn't know who she is.
What happened specifically is this. They found no proof that he raped her or even had sex with her, but he supposedly defamed her about sexual misconduct or something, and they delivered a $5 million verdict against Trump. He knew he couldn't get fair treatment up there, so he just decided to sit the whole thing out.
Well, and that's what he said in this town hall, that you can't get a fair shake in a court anymore. But also interesting that this is another thing that Brad Griffin ferreted out, Tim, that Roberta Kaplan of the Charlottesville trial represented E. Jean Carroll in this lawsuit against Trump.
And guess what? The judge's name was Kaplan, too. I wonder if there's any relationship.
But this just goes back, I think, the theme here that we're tying together is that, and Brad mentions it, once again, even if you passionately hate Trump, this only shows that our fates are still bound in some cosmic way.
What it shows is that the trial by jury is, dead on arrival in America, in today's America.
You got something on that, Tim?
Well, definitely. I mean, the faith in the law, everyone knows when they go into a lawsuit or something happens like this, you're going to get screwed. It's heavily rigged. There is no justice. And it's kind of intriguing to me that there's no justice for a wealthy guy like Trump, which is kind of unique to America. But he is white. He is white, and that's how it's going to work.
And he's a white male, the most pernicious thing that you can be in today's America.
And this is the thing about Trump. And again, I like a lot of the stuff he says. And he is seen, though, by the system as the avatar for white people. And that includes white people like us who see things clearly. And that's why he's getting the treatment that we've always
seen. That's the thing that he's doing. He's bringing to the attention of a lot of white people that are still in denial. Like they said, denial is not just a river in Africa. Denial that somehow they are now an oppressed minority and that the establishment hates their guts. And he's putting an exclamation point on that.
All right, Tim, now the other big story, what would have been the top story before I saw the content of this town hall and the media's reaction to it and the fact that, hey, yeah, you know what, Trump is still the guy to further the divide, and that's what we need. But The big story before that, which would have been the big story all night tonight, and it's still a plenty big story, is the non-white white supremacist that the media is so eager to find a white guy that will go out and kill somebody like blacks kill each other.
It's really like the Tyree Nichol case. In other words, if you have the wrong opinion, you're a white supremacist, whether you're black, whether you are Hispanic or anything else, whether you're an Eskimo. This is thought control. They're telling you that you cannot basically have any musings or thoughts at all that are not, you know, pre-approved by the left in America today, or else you're going to be vilified and marginalized.
So his name was Mauricio Garcia. He looks to be completely Hispanic, and perhaps I've heard rumors he was even in a gang. Big mass shooting at... Allen, Texas.
A big mall, shopping mall in suburban Dallas.
That's right. So what do you know about this case, Tim?
I don't know a whole lot, but you know, there's a lot of non-white white supremacists all of a sudden, and they got swastika tattoos automatically and SS tattoos, and those that are attracted to National Socialism, let's say the aesthetics. It's popular in places like Thailand. Maybe there's a new trend of Mexican white supremacists. I don't know. But obviously it was a tragedy. It was one of these, we don't know who's in the country. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. The government doesn't seem to care. And this guy went off. And these are going to happen a lot more, too. You got a lot of young guys, very easy access to guns, and a very disruptive, dysfunctional society. So what does it lead to? A lot of shootings. I predict unfortunately.
The left is so unattractive. Its ideas and concepts are so unattractive that people are gravitating to oppositional positions to them, like white nationalism, even if they're not white, because the left is that toxic.
They're bad news, but they just keep pushing the same thing.
Okay, so, I mean, this goes back to at least George Zimmerman. That was the first time with the Trayvon Martin incident where I can remember a non-white being referred to as a white Hispanic. And, I mean, yeah, he might have had a little bit of white in that.
With that name, he might be Jewish.
With that, he might have had, he probably did have some white in his DNA makeup. But having a little bit of white doesn't make one white. I mean, if a black has a little bit of white, do they refer to them as white? Well, hell, I don't know anymore, because in Memphis just here earlier this year, you had five black police officers beat to death a black man, and they said they were white supremacists. So,
influenced by
white supremacy.
The police work is inherently tinged with white supremacy.
But this is the headline. Well, you mentioned the tattoos too. Now, he had a tattoo apparently of something with a Texas motif that looked authentic, and then he had a huge, oversized, exaggerated SS lightning bolt on his bicep, and a huge, exaggerated swastika apparently on his chest. But it looked like it was, if you've seen the pictures, it looks like it was actually carved into his skin. I mean, it didn't look anything like the other tattoo. It just didn't look real. And even one of the media outlets had said that, well, a few days ago on his social media. Now, he had no social media apparently, except some obscure profile on a Russian website that nobody's ever even heard of. That's sketchy as hell too. But they said that a few days before the killings, he didn't have the tattoos. And then, I don't know, did they get put on in Photoshop? Did they get put on post-mortem? Maybe he did. Maybe he was these things. But again, it just didn't really fly. Yeah. It didn't fly in Memphis, and it's not flying now, where they can blame white people for things like this, for doing what black people do to each other and to whites. By the way, Tim, there was an incident this exact same time period, the last few days, where a black man went up behind two white people, shot them dead in the back of the head. There was all kinds of stuff about him saying he hated white people. He this, that, and the other, totally racially motivated, and that is nothing.
Yeah, nothing to see here, but that's what Trump was pointing out, this double standard that is just, you know, it is so customary now to have that double standard that people don't even comment about it. And that's why we need somebody like Trump to throw the turd in the punch bowl and let people know just exactly how oppressed they are.
One headline this week the Washington Post was all over this, saying you could be excused. It was very patronizing. You could be excused for not understanding how a non-white could be a white supremacist. Here's another headline. Being Hispanic or black does not make you immune from being a white supremacist. So they're actually running with this, Tim. I mean, this is actually the way
some woman on The View, not a really reliable source, I would say.
Well, in any of
the, not a lot of probity and intellectual depth coming out of The View.
But nevertheless, this is how the media is running with it, and they expect people to, do they expect people to believe this, or do they not think that this is further widening the distrust in the media from at least half the country, Tim?
They don't care. They don't care about profits. They don't care about anything. They just run a monopoly, and they just keep dribbling this stuff out, and they get farther and farther detached from reality. Trump would be far more impressive to me if he just start calling this stuff anti-white nonstop. He would just be he would whoever does that is going to no one will do that.
Well, he's getting a little bit close. He might before this one's all said and done. He hasn't done it to date, but he has said more things than anybody else would say. And I guess that and what $7.50 to get you a cup of coffee these days.
He certainly agitated that moderate.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Happy Mother's Day, a little bit early, a couple of hours early, a few hours early, to all of the ladies out there.
But just remember, in today's America, a man can be a mother, right?
That's where we're going as we approach the end of the rail here for this experiment. But in any event, especially to our own mothers, happy Mother's Day. And back we are with Tim Murdoch. Just a little more on this, Tim. I'll tell you, you know, actually... somebody had sent me a link to Andrew Anglin's commentary on this, and he pretty much got it right. What he wrote here is that we're getting blamed for non-white crime now. Mexican white supremacist has helped us reach the unimaginable levels of ridiculousness. There's no counter-narrative because it's all been shut down, so I assume it's only going to get more outrageous. That's where we're at, and that's where we are. It didn't take off like they. How much do you think the media was salivating over the hopes and dreams that this would be a white shooter that they could say real or imagined was tied to white supremacy. Now I heard that supposedly he was connected to even V-Day. He'd been to V-Day. We'll take their word on that, like we took their word that Dylan Roof had been to the CFCC's website.
Or else all automatic rifles are white supremacists.
Well, just this whole thing. I mean, you know, I was at church last week. I was like, you know, it's been a while and they haven't released the identity yet, so that's probably means he's not white, because that's the first thing they do if he's white, of course, is you hear about the race. It's obscured otherwise. And then when I read in an article that a translator had to be sent to some of his associates to get some information, I was like, ah, well, there you have it. But it didn't stop them from going with the white supremacist angle. Last comment on that, Tim.
Yeah, they won't stop either. I mean, that's just every time there's a crime, they just sit and it seems like they're just it's just the bandwagon they jump on, no matter who it is right now.
Well, you can see what hate crime legislation morphed into that went before Congress 43 times and was voted down 43 times. But on the 44th try, they got it passed. And if you think this is something bad, wait until they pass their hate speech law, folks. I mean, it's going to be open season on white people.
We'll see. We'll see if it gets there. But in any event, Tim, you know, I would have promoted your event, your appearance tonight on Twitter had I still had it. I know you're still there. And big news on Twitter this week is that after the latest round of purges, which we got caught up in that dragnet, I'm glad you slipped through. I have survived a few of them myself. You just never know when your number's going to be up.
People say, did it surprise James that he got knocked off? I said, it really surprised him more that he stayed on as long as he did.
But what about this thing now with Elon Musk? Now he's got a new CEO. He's naming a new CEO, and I've read rumors that it's some woke woman. I mean, what have you heard
that? A woke
that?
Member of the tribe.
I haven't heard that. I've heard that
she's
what do you know?
Advertisers for him. At least prop the place up for a minute. We don't know what the effects will be or how long he'll keep her without firing her, which in my opinion he'll fire her. He'll let her get a bunch of advertisers back and then probably fire her, or maybe she'll just kill the company. I don't know. She's not good. She don't look good for free speech.
What do we know about her? What's her name? What do we know about her background? I just know that there's been a transition, and I've been – I don't know.
I've seen a picture of her, too. So,
what do you know about her politics, Tim?
Liberal. Super liberal. Linda Yaccarino. Basically, it looks to me like he was forced to hire her or be in trouble. Or go under, so he hired her or something. It looks like some deal was worked out. It's, you know, let her run the company and you know, manage Twitter. Now I have no idea what it means. We'll have to see where she comes in. I know it's going to be disastrous. I remember seeing a video with her saying that you know, we must demand everyone put on a mask. You know, she's a WF chairwoman enthusiast. She's pushing the vax and lockdowns. And she was pushing the vaccine lockdown. So it looks like it's going from and you know, Twitter's always been schizophrenic with banning people. You can usually get your account back in time. Sometimes a lot of people have, but some haven't. And it's kind of like right now it's like 2015 all over again in a way. It's just there's a lot of random bannings, but they bring in this woman in front of the election, and we'll have to see how bad her crackdown is.
Well, and as you said, I mean, the word is schizophrenic, because I never understood why Jared Taylor got banned years ago, and I made it to when I did. You've been banned a couple of times. You come back, and you come back.
Well, they even don't let Jared travel to Europe now. I mean, it's just incredible that, you know, that's supposed to have been a three-year ban, and now they just arbitrarily extended it to 5 years so they would catch him in the dragnet and send him back.
Yeah, so, I mean, all of that's going on. But with regards to Twitter, this thing, I mean, the free speech absolutist, even though people that the ADL doesn't like are getting banned left, right, and center here under Musk, people who survived the woke regime are getting banned under Musk now, like Tom Sunich and Paul Fromm and Kevin McDonald. But now he's a free speech guy, but he's bringing in somebody who's totally opposed to his own. He paid $44 billion to own this little playground, this online playground, and he's going to turn it over to somebody who's completely against his vision? I mean, that just doesn't make sense, Tim. Not that it matters to me because I'm gone, but it doesn't make sense.
He's quite likely to fire her in a couple weeks. We don't know what he's doing. I mean...
Or else he's not going to give her the authority to do it. He's going to continue to run the place, and she's going to be like a figurehead. And either way, I think you're right. In about a month or two, she's going to be history.
Or maybe it won't even be her. Maybe that's just fake news. Maybe that's just a leak. Maybe
I saw a video on free speech. That was pretty interesting.
Right, say that again. You cut out just a second there.
I saw a video of the two arguing over free speech at some kind of function or something, and he didn't really like any of her ideals. Now, this was way before he hired her, so.
I doubt she's changed. That's the point. I doubt she's changed. This is what diversity is. It forces you to be in league and in society and in workplaces with people who are diametrically opposed. It only causes why in the hell would he hire somebody?
Well, it had to be something like Larry Fink at BlackRock or somebody at Vanguard telling them that he had to do it. I can't understand that. He cannot be that dense. He's not. This is not a stranger.
No, something's up. Well, he's gone back and forth on a couple of things, and he was going to step. Who knows? He may completely change his mind before, and this will be much ado about nothing by next week, and he's not going to leave. I mean, he's done stuff like that. But nevertheless, I saw that, and in light of all the news that has been about Twitter on this show in the last couple of weeks, I had to ask you about that, Tim, because I know you're still there, and I hope you are able to stay there, because it is an amplifier. There's no doubt about it. That's why they don't want us on there, and why you've been banned before. But sometimes when you get banned, you come back, and sometimes you don't. But we may have.
Go,
Tim.
Go ahead. Keep filing appeals.
Filing. I know some people have filed like 30. I think Paul Fromm files like one every hour on the hour, but we'll see what happens. Any event, there's one more thing I want to leave you with tonight, but before I do, give us all of that contact information, folks. I was on Tim's show most recently back in April, and it just got freed and busted out of the paywall. We're going to have that up on our website on Monday. Check it out. Always a good conversation with Tim, whether it takes place here on TPC or at White Rabbit Radio. Tim, give us all the contact information for people to like, follow, support, and otherwise tune in to hear what you have to say.
Just hop on whiterabbitradio.biz and whiterabbitradio.biz. You'll get a bunch of different links, and you can find our links right there.
WhiteRabbitRadio.biz got his start back with Bob Whitaker. I tell you, people can have worse starts than with Buchanan and Whitaker. But that's how we got started, and we came in about it at about the same time. And Bob was a near and dear friend of my heart, so anytime Tim's on, we always give Bob an honorable mention.
They don't call you guys paleo-conservative for nothing, man. You're back in the Pleistocene era.
Well, a lot more than that, but I've been called worse, that's for sure. But one more thing here. I'll leave you with this, Tim. If it all goes to pot, it's certainly going there as fast as it can, but here's a headline that I found interesting, and I saw this on two or three different websites. Now, we'll see if it pans out to be true. Here's what I'm reading now, though. Russia is floating a plan to build a village for conservative Americans who want to move to a Christian country and who are tired of liberal ideology in the United States. Now, that does sound too good to be true, and I don't know if people like us would be included in the category of conservative Americans, but this is a couple of subheadlines here. Russia building a village for U.S. expats who are tired of a liberal ideology. If the project is approved, it is stated to slated to house 200 American and Canadian families. Russia has in recent years sought to position itself as a bastion for traditional moral values. I'll read just here right from the top of the article. Village slated for construction in Moscow suburbs in 2024 is meant to house conservative families, as we just said. Many of these families don't have Russian roots but are tired of the inculcation of radical values in the United States and Canada. Today they have 70 genders. It is not known what will happen next, a Russian attorney said. The same rhetoric has been used frequently by Russian President Vladimir Putin as U.S.-Russia relations have worsened over the last several years. So anyway, you can read this for yourself. Just type in what did I use as a search term for this? Russia Village American expats. I see the Moscow Times has something on it. Insider, Newsweek. It's the Daily Beast has something on it. So it's out there by multiple sources of different persuasions. Right now, it is just sort of in the theoretical stage, but it's possible. What do you think, Tim? You want to pack your bags or what you do about
that? That's going to be the trend. People trying to take, who's going to get it. Basically, you have a group spread across the whole top of the family and they don't have a home. They're called whites. Someone could get a big group of them. Someone might claim them. I don't know that it'd be the Russians, but I like this language. One potential group of immigrants are traditional Catholics who are white Americans with many children. He could say evangelicals or anything there too, which U.S. government considers domestic terrorists. So it's a lot of, we live in interesting times.
Hey, we do we not? And we'll continue to navigate those interesting times with you, brother. But check it out, folks. Russian Village American expats. Put that in your Google search and see if it sounds right for you. I'll tell you, we'll see what America looks like in a couple of more years. And we might revisit this conversation. WhiteRabbitRadio.biz. Tim Murdoch, the one and only. Thank you, Tim. As always, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon. And, folks, we'll be back, Keith and I, for another hours of news and commentary next.